Are you ready for your kids to go to college? I've got four, and I know sooner than later, fellow parents are going to realize, like we did years ago, just how fast the cost of a college education continues to increase. And so in today's video, I'm going to go over the five different accounts us parents can contribute to prepare our children, as well as us financially, for college. Let's start with the Coverdell Educational Savings Account, ESA. This is a decent way to save for just about any part of your child's education, from kindergarten to after high school. Funds in your child's Coverdell ESA can be used for educational purposes tax-free. You contribute after-tax dollars and the earnings grow tax-free. Sort of like a Roth IRA, except you can only use tax-free growth for educational-related expenses. The Coverdell ESA does have a $2,000 per year maximum contribution limit and certain income restrictions. According to IRS Publication 970, if your modified adjusted gross income is less than $110,000, $220,000 if filing a joint return, you may be able to establish a Coverdell ESA to finance the qualified education expenses of a designated beneficiary. And if you don't meet the income limits, you still have other ways to save for your child's education in other tax advantage vehicles, which I'll explain later. But if you decide to use a Coverdell ESA, know that you have up to when the beneficiary reaches age 18 to contribute, and note that the funds must be used before the child turns 30, unless the beneficiary is a special needs beneficiary. If there are funds left over by the time your child reaches 30, you have the option to change the designated beneficiary as long as the new beneficiary meets the IRS requirements. Basically, any and all family members of the beneficiary can be selected as long as they are under the age of 30. And for more information on Coverdell ESAs, check out IRS Publication 970. I will say that investment control in the Coverdell ESA is considered to be optimal, as you pretty much have full control over what your contributions can be invested in, unlike 529 plans where the provider typically has the control. Now, there are very few 529 plans where you have the same level of control of investment choices, but that's few and far between. So, with Coverdell ESAs, you have access to more mutual funds and other investment opportunities to potentially maximize your children's funding for school. Now onto 529 plans. There is no doubt 529s are a great tool for any parent of any income level to save for college. 529 plans are typically coordinated by a state or an educational institution. Almost every state offers 529 plans, and even if your state doesn't offer one, you can still open a 529 in another state and use the account for any school virtually anywhere. Yep. That means international too. So if you're a resident of Florida, you can actually open up a 529 plan in California, and your Floridian child can go to a college in Georgia and benefit from the California 529 plan. Be sure though to confirm that the college you want to go to is eligible for Title IV federal student aid, and most colleges are, but it's just something good to check. There are two types of 529 plans: the prepaid tuition plan and the education savings plan. In this video, I'm mainly focusing on the education savings plan because I personally don't think prepaying college tuition is necessary. And there are a few restrictions with prepaid tuition plans that make this option a little unattractive to me. I am happy to break down the differences in a future video, so let me know in the comment section below. And remember to subscribe as we journey to 100,000 subscribers with this awesome community. Only 97,899 of you out there left as of recording this video. Now, while contributions to a 529 plan are not tax deductible on the federal level, the earnings do grow tax-free, just like the Coverdell ESA, which is a great benefit if you're able to start one of these plans when your child is very young. Depending on what state you live in, you may be eligible for state tax deductions. Contributing to a 529 plan could lower your state tax liability, meaning you keep more of your hard-earned money for you and your family. For example, in Georgia, contributions up to $4,000 per year per beneficiary are eligible for a Georgia state income tax deduction for those filing a single return, and $8,000 per year per beneficiary for those filing a joint return. So often, people are motivated to open a 529 plan in the state they live in so they can get that tax deduction. When you file taxes, and even before, it's a good idea to check with a tax professional to make sure that you are getting that tax benefit of having a 529 plan. Another great advantage of the 529 plan is that there are no income limits, unlike a Roth IRA or Coverdell Educational Savings Account, which do have certain income restrictions. And thanks to a new tax law, you can use funds in the 529 plan for qualified expenses for tuition in connection with enrollment or attendance at an elementary or secondary, public, private, or religious school. Now, this is huge because you can now save even more for basically all levels of school. We'll definitely go over the use cases for early education in the upcoming video, but for now, just know that 529s are awesome. While investment choices can be limited, I still like the 529 plan if you're able to get a state tax deduction and plan to contribute more than the $2,000 per year that you would have with a Coverdell ESA. And there's a new benefit that goes into effect in 2024 with 529 plans where you can actually roll over some of that money into a Roth IRA for that child, for the beneficiary. But there are rules and restrictions, of course, that you should know about, like eligible rollover amounts must have been in the 529 account for at least 5 years. The 529 plan would need to be maintained for 15 years, and there is a lifetime maximum transfer of $35,000. So it's not a lot of money that you would be able to move from the 529 plan over to a Roth IRA. I know it's not a perfect case to use for future wealth planning for your children, but let's say you start today contributing to a 529 plan for your child and have an excess of $35,000 to move over to a Roth IRA for the kids by the time he or she is 25. Now, that $35,000 your kid would never touch until the age of 60, after about 35 years of growth with an average annual rate of return of 8%, could easily grow to $570,000. Like I said, more on 529 plans in a future video, because for my oldest, we started her 529 plan 6 years ago, so the clock has already started for her. And while there are some restrictions and limits around doing something like this, I mean, the law is still being interpreted as we speak today in 2024, but this is exciting to me, so definitely look out for a video where I'm gonna get into the details of the 529 plan. Next up, UGMAs and UTMAs. I'm talking about the Uniform Gifts to Minors Act, UGMA, and the Uniform Transfers to Minors Act, UTMA. These are similar yet somewhat different types of custodial accounts that an adult sets up on behalf of a minor. The UTMA is pretty much an extension of the UGMA, which allows the transfer of certain assets to a minor. All assets in these accounts are basically turned over to the beneficiary between the ages of 18 to 21. That's what's going to happen with the assets that are in those accounts. So, me personally, as a parent, this kind of scares me, to be honest. Imagine you're saving for your child's college, and there's always that possibility of those funds being used for something other than college that you may not necessarily agree with. But I still wanted to present these accounts to you because there are some benefits to having these. Still, personally, I would not set up an UGMA or UTMA for college purposes. Unlike 529 plans and ESAs, you cannot transfer a designated beneficiary's UGMA or UTMA account to another person. Ultimately, the designated minor owns the assets within these accounts. And again, I know this might be hard to fathom as parents, that your kid would have full reign over an account that could have $50,000 to $100,000, $200,000. Of course, you could have a little Warren Buffett in the making and all would be fine. And it's worth noting that one of the drawbacks on these accounts for education is that these funds can have an impact on the amount of financial aid the beneficiary receives. Financial aid is generally reduced by 20% of the UGMA or UTMA balance compared to the 5.64% of 529s and Coverdell ESAs, because 529s and Coverdells are considered property of the parent. Now, you may be wondering, what benefits are there then to UGMAs and UTMAs? Well, these accounts are nice for parents with any level of income to provide a decent savings account for their children where you can save and invest. You have the benefit of a wide variety of investment choices. However, be mindful of gift tax on any contributions made in excess of $18,000 or $36,000 for joint filers. Also, there are some tax benefits to having an UGMA or an UTMA, and you don't have to worry about paying a penalty if the funds in the account are not used for educational related expenses like you would with a Coverdell ESA or a 529 plan. The withdrawals would just have to benefit the minor, such as college visits, a car for the minor, to get to work, summer camp, etc. Again, this is where a tax professional can be of good use, because there are some tax advantages you could benefit from if you choose to go down the UGMA or UTMA path for saving for college. There is another account you can use to pay for college, and it's one that isn't so well known only because it can be a bit complicated and really is not my favorite, but it is worth looking at. I'm talking about your Roth IRA. And one of the main reasons I'm including the Roth IRA is because in spite of all the rules and restrictions on making withdrawals without a penalty, using Roth IRA distributions to pay for qualified higher education expenses is considered an exception that you can use and avoid the 10% early withdrawal penalty. However, the earnings portion of the withdrawal, I'm not talking about the contributions, I'm talking about the earnings, would still be considered taxable income. And let's clarify what is considered to be qualified higher education expenses. We're talking about tuition, fees, books, supplies, equipment required for enrollment or attendance, the cost of special needs services in connection with enrollment or attendance, room and board, as long as the student is enrolled at least half time. One of the big disadvantages about using your Roth IRA for your kids' college expenses is that you end up losing a bit of your retirement nest egg. And personally, it's something I am not a fan of. I love having a Roth IRA. And to learn more about this incredible savings account, check out the video on the screen or check out the other video that YouTube recommends you should check out next. I'll see you there. Peace.